Monica Abbott here, back in Kansas City to host my first annual scholarship golf tournament presented by Shields, Monday, May 6th at Lakewood Oaks Country Club in Lee's Summit. All proceeds go toward awarding two scholarships to well-deserving female athletes in the Kansas City area. Sign up at monicaabbott.com.
It's time for Sports Night with Bonnie Jill Laughlin on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Night with Bonnie Jill Laughlin. I'm Bonnie Jill on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A fun night at Chase Center as I cover Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. And as you know, the Warriors advance to the NBA Finals after beating the Mavericks 4-1 in the series. Warriors now wait to see who they play in the finals. Boston is up 3-2 on Miami, and they play Game 6 tonight. As always, VP of Operations Todd Leba will join me. Todd, what did you think about that series? Now, did you watch most of those games? Some people were saying they were kind of boring. They weren't sure what they thought about this series or some of the other series. What were your thoughts?
The games weren't as good as you'd like them to be, but the Warriors were just a better team. They have more talent, and I think people were kind of, at this point, are probably over their it's like a Warriors-itis. You'd had too much of it, right? And I think people are welcome to see them back in the finals now because they're a different-looking team a little bit because they've got some new faces. But I think the story of Klay Thompson coming back from a devastating injury is pretty awesome. So I think maybe three years ago, if they went back again, people would be like, all right, I've had enough. But now it's like fresh, you know? It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's all right to have the big, bad Warriors back in the finals. I love watching the Mavs play. Luka is an amazing player, but he needs help. You know, there's just not enough help around him.
Oh, yeah. So do you think the fans in Kansas City, do you think they're rooting for the Warriors or the Mavericks? Because closer to Dallas, right? So you would think that they would be pulling for the Mavs.
Well, here's the deal. Everything in Kansas City revolves around Patrick Mahomes, okay? This is the way it works. Patrick Mahomes loves the Mavs. So if you're asking people in Kansas City, they probably love the Mavs. So Patrick, he went to a couple of the games, and he ends up, you know, they always put him on TV if he's down there at American Airlines in Dallas. And then he was supposed to go to Game 7 against the Nuggets when they went out there and they won on the road. But his plane, now he wasn't flying commercial. His plane had some mechanical problems. He didn't make the game. And he was tweeting about it. So if it's Mavs, the Kansas City people follow Patrick on anything. That's what they do. So Mavs is where it's at with him. So I don't think the Chiefs fans were probably in for them. But they also realized the Mavs just aren't quite there yet. They need some help for sure. And maybe they'll get there. I mean, you know, Mark Cuban's not going to just sit there and rest on it. He'll go find some help for Luka. And if I was a player and I was looking for a spot to land, if you want to go try to be one of those kind of store-bought teams where everyone just goes together, why wouldn't you want to go play with that kid? You know, he's got a great future ahead of him.
Right. Yeah, it's funny you say that because Mark Cuban and that organization, they're going to have to figure out a way to – I mean, they had a promising year. They went farther than most of us thought, and to try to contend for a title next season. And you look at, you know, first-year head coach Jason Kidd and first-year GM Nico Harrison, and, I mean, they still had a pretty nice season, an impressive 52-30 record. So where do they go from there? I mean, I believe that Luka does need a co-star, and I like Jalen Brunson, but he's not a real co-star. You're hearing, you know, talks of ESPN said that Rudy Gobert could be someone, but he needs a supporting cast.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Brunson is like your third guy, not your second guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. They need that other guy who can be there. And if I were them, I wouldn't go try to find some old guy. You know, not some, we've talked about this before, you know, some James Harden cancer or something like that. They need to go find someone who will fit in and understand that if you have a pecking order, it's Luka and then maybe you and then maybe Jalen Brunson or whatever. They you know, when they're at their best, someone else, one of the supporting cast would just pop up and have a night, you know. But you can't depend on that. They need someone more dependable, but they'll go spend the money. And like I said, if I was someone looking for a team and looking to go chase a ring, that's a pretty good place to go because, you know, I think for a while, you know, the West was so scary because there was a whole lot of teams out there. It seems a little more open now, right? I mean, with the future of the Lakers is sort of in doubt of what they're all about. I mean, the Warriors, they're back in the finals, but they're not getting younger. You know what I mean? They're not getting younger. You could be that kind of young team to get it done. Dallas is a fun place to live, fun place to be. You know what it's like down there. It's a big town, and people love their sports there. Now, I don't, you know, the Mavs could win three straight, you know, championships, and they still wouldn't be as important as Cowboys spring practice, because the Cowboys are the Cowboys. But that seems like a place where if I was someone, it would be pretty desirable to go try to play.
Now, Todd, one of their biggest downfalls, I thought, was that they didn't have great shot creation to give Doncic a break, you know what I mean? So I feel like they need that, but they also need a player who can defend well, because I thought defensively, I mean, they just couldn't grab the boards. The Warriors had so many second-chance points, and they need to, like, spread the floor when Doncic is controlling the ball as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You got to find the right fit, because sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, like the Lakers, on paper, they should be great. And they had injuries and stuff like that, but it just never gelled for him. Wasn't very good. So you need to find someone who can take some pressure off Doncic, and but also can take the reins sometimes if you need to, because these guys don't play 82 games. There's load management. They take some time off. You know, there could be a game where you don't play here, and you got to kind of find that rotation. It's easier said than done to say, here's three guys, we're going to go win it all. It hasn't worked in Brooklyn, right, where they've tried to do this. It worked.
Nope.
It was pretty good success in Miami when LeBron first went down there. Now, they didn't win all of them, but they won more than one. And with the Warriors, it almost worked every time, but it still didn't work every time, right? I mean, KD's as good as there was, and they won some with him. They won some before he got there, but then they didn't win with him, because when you get people hurt and they can't play, then that's how it goes. So I don't know exactly where it'll end up going with them. But I know the league is pretty competitive. I mean, there are some good teams out there, and we'll find out tonight if the Celtics take this series or the Heat force it. I mean, we've talked about the Heat before, too. I mean, there's nothing incredibly special about what they are, but they play well together. They find a way to be a team, and that's what you're always looking for, because sometimes these stars can just die on the vine somewhere because they don't have enough talent around them. And I'd hate to see that with Luka. I mean, I think the country would love to watch him in a final at some point.
Yeah, I think Luka's definitely likable as well. He is a superstar and potentially a future Hall of Famer, and he does like to take a lot of the load. But I felt like when I was watching him, even in the first half, Todd, I don't know if you saw this, he looked really tired. He looked exhausted, and I felt like it's coming off of going, you know, going seven games in Phoenix and now here. I felt like it was a lot for him.
Yeah, it certainly was. He hadn't been through that grind as much before. You think about his career so far, right? They had the bubble COVID year, and they didn't really go through it. Mm-hmm. And then last year, you know, they didn't make the deepest run as they had this year. And then you go all the way through this, and you had to go all the way to Game 7, win on the road in the series before. And it's not that easy. And he takes it from everyone. And the Warriors, as silly as it kind of seems, probably kind of snuck up on people. I mean, they got rings for fingers and thumbs. I mean, they got rings all over that outfit. And a lot of guys who have been there for a long time. You know, this isn't like just a couple guys there. A lot of people in that organization have been through this stuff all through their entire careers. And they kind of did sneak up on people a little bit. They weren't the one seed, right? They had to go find their way through there and battle through. But they're game-tested, man. They know how to win series. Their coach knows how to win series. Their players know how to win series. And that means a lot when you get to May and June.
Yeah, but a team that stuck up on me is the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, besides Luka, they don't have much. And so I was shocked that they even beat Phoenix after watching them in this Western Conference Finals. And it's funny, Luka was talking about in the offseason that he's not going to have a lot of time to think about the NBA. He even said, I just looked at my schedule and I realized I play for the Slovenian national team. So he's not going to have a lot of off time. And it's funny that he's just figuring out his schedule I guess he forgot about that. But he goes right back in for the national team and not going to have much time off, which someone like him, I know he's 23 years old, but he needs some rest. And some of these stars, they start to realize they don't have much of an offseason, Todd.
No, they don't. At certain years, it kind of ratchets up like that. And that's why some of them don't want to do things like play international basketball. And I don't really blame them, you know, because for America, at least, there are enough basketball players in America that they don't need all the best stars to go be competitive in those things. But if you're talking about, you know, Slovenia, he's the guy. And he's not just a guy who was born there and came to America when he was 12 years old and started playing, you know, basketball and went to a college here. That's his deal, right? So he's a hero to the country, and it's there aren't 800 basketball players in Slovenia like we have 800 basketball players in America who could probably go win something. So he probably feels some pressure to go do that for sure.
Yeah, because you start to wonder, though, it starts to catch up with these guys, you know, and they don't ever have an off season because they play for their national team, and then also they go so deep in the playoffs. So you wonder if it will catch up with them. And I guess maybe it's also a good distraction that he doesn't have to think about this yet, that he goes straight into his national team.
Yeah, for sure. You're not going to sit there and chew on the loss, I guess. I mean, it's going to bother him. They weren't as competitive as they wanted to be in the series. You know, you don't want to get knocked out that quickly, but I think they understand what they were up against. You know, the Warriors, Steph Curry is one of the best there ever was. Klay Thompson is one of the best shooters ever. He's healthy. And they've got some good young players on that team, too. I mean, like Jordan Poole, we talk about they got a lot of guys who know how to win, but he wasn't on these teams, you know. I mean, he's just a kid. And Andrew Wiggins has found fresh life out there. It wasn't like he was a bust or having a disappointing career. But as the overall number one pick, you just had to find a situation for him, right? And I think he understands that it's okay to not be the star of the team when you get to be on a team. You know, someone like him would probably fit in nicely in Dallas, right, and make that team better because they've got some other players. But he has really found a niche not being the star of a team when he popped out there with the Warriors. And he's been a big part of what they've gotten done in the postseason. And that's good to see someone finally kind of find their spot. Because not everyone finds their spot, man. You go look, there's a lot of really good players who maybe never made the finals. They maybe certainly lots of great players have never won a ring. And you just got to get on the right team sometimes and get that done. And it's all about timing. And Wiggins looks like he's found a spot where maybe he can be part of something for a while there. Because I don't know. I mean, what you're out there covering these guys – is Steph going to play forever? Is Klay Thompson going to play forever? Are they always going to stay there? Are they going to – I mean, I get the feeling that I think Steph Curry's probably a lifer there, right? I don't think he's going to go off
– oh, definitely.
Chasing around the country trying to do things. And I don't get the feeling Klay would do that either. But you never say never, I suppose.
Yeah, they're definitely loyal to the Warriors organization. And you look at the character of Steph and Klay, and those two are going to, you know, stay together forever. But, you know, you're right. They're not getting any younger. I mean, people will say that Steph's his first step or his half step's not as quick, you know. You can also see that potentially that Klay is maybe not the player he was. I mean, he's still coming back off of two horrific injuries. So you wonder if he's still not the player that he was. So you kind of wonder, but they are building these younger guys and staying on with Steph Curry. I don't know if you were able to watch, but they had the inaugural Magic Johnson Western Conference Final MVP award, which he was awarded, which is pretty cool that they had that in honor of Magic. I don't know if you were able to watch that. Steph ended up having, you know, 15 points on assists in game 5 and all-around performance, averaging 23.8 points, 7.4 assists, and 6 rebounds. Did you watch that post-game, and what did you think about it being named after Magic?
I did not see the post-game. It was late for me here, you know, because
I
didn't get to see the end of it. I heard the end of the game. I was actually driving. I heard the end of the game on the radio, and then I got home, and it was like sleep time for me. But I think Magic deserves that honor. I mean, he's as good as there was for that stretch in the West. I mean, I know I heard you last week or a couple weeks ago talking about the Winning Time series, and maybe it's not entirely accurate the way I do a lot of those things, but it brought back a lot of memories for me of watching those teams and what they did and how many finals they made. And I think Magic certainly deserves that honor, because there hasn't been a better ambassador for the league with everything he's gone through in his life than him. And that's a pretty good one. It's always scary when you name something after someone. You never know how it's going to end up being. But I think Magic is certainly someone who deserves that honor. It's pretty cool. And I know it probably meant something to Steph, because he certainly knows what Magic Johnson's legacy is all about. Now, he was pretty young when Magic stopped playing really competitively. But listen, his dad was in the league. He knows all about Magic.
It's funny you used the word cool, because that's what Magic Johnson said in his tweet. It's really cool that the greatest shooter basketball has ever seen, a friend, future Hall of Famer, and great person, Steph Curry, won the first ever Magic Johnson Western Conference Final MVP. Congratulations, with the little trophy emoji. So I think Magic was happy that maybe something was named after him.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's always nice to be honored. You know, That winning time thing, I watched it. It was fun for me. Like I said, it's accuracy or not. I mean, they dramatize things for TV. But I really enjoyed watching the They Call Me Magic, more of a documentary-style thing that was on Apple Plus, which, you know, really detailed a lot of those things and everything he had gone through. And it was pretty amazing. And when I grew up, listen, I'm from here, so we had our crappy Kings until they moved to Sacramento. And I always liked the Celtics more than the Lakers, but I always respected.
You did.
I did. I liked them more because I think I got to see them more. Because when the West Coast games, you didn't get to see as much. When it came to the finals, I just liked the look of the old Boston Garden, and I liked the floor. L.A., it seemed dark in that building. It was weird because the way they lit it was like Hollywood lighting, right? It was all on the floor.
Yeah.
But I always loved watching those games, and I'll never forget, like, Magic with the baby hook at Boston Garden and going in there, and it would seem impossible to win games there, and they would go do it. So I loved watching those duels, and he got the better of them because he won more than he lost, you know, and he won more titles than those guys. So I have enjoyed kind of the nostalgia of both those series, the one on HBO and the one on Apple Plus, to kind of remember some of those things because, you know, the league now isn't what it was then because some of those things were on tape delay back in the day and it wasn't even a big deal. The league wasn't, and those guys, and then followed by Magic or Michael Jordan, they brought the league into prominence. And, you know, we would sit there. You weren't taking your eyes off a final if it had the Lakers and Celtics in it. And they always battled and warred and, you know, fought and scrapped. And Magic was – he was an absolute phenomenon for the way he played the game. And there still, I don't think, has been anyone exactly like what he's done. They've tried. There's some really good – I mean, LeBron's amazing, right? He's 6'8", 6'9", and runs it up and down the floor and is very athletic. But I don't think he has been the guy – who has brought out the best in his teammates for as long a period of time as Magic did. You know, maybe that's unfair or whatever, but I Magic just always made everybody better.
He did, and he always had that great, you know, if you watch the winning time, they talk about how Jerry West didn't want to draft him because he said he had too big of a smile, and he wanted Larry Bird because, you know, he looked meaner. And it's funny because that didn't translate well, you know, with Magic. It did, right? That was how Jerry West was about. But Magic, you know, he got along with everyone. He was always smiling. And to me, I've always said he's one of the best basketball players ever because he could play every position on the court. And at his young age, and what he was able to do in his rookie year was just phenomenal. So well, I'm glad you picked up.
He was a killer, too, though. He'd smile at you.
Yeah.
He'd smile at you.
Yeah, but he did. Then he'd, talk some ass, right?
Oh, he would beat you, too. I mean, he was driven, man. I don't think they probably overblew the rivalry between he and Bird as too much in that series because I can imagine what it was like. I mean, why was Larry Bird winning Rookie of the Year and winning MVPs and Magic was Magic? That stuff bothered him,
right?
And he certainly was driven by it. And that's what the great ones are. They put a chip on their shoulder somehow, some way, and that's just how they do it. But Magic was an absolute killer. He'd smile at you and he'd knock you down. I loved it, man.
Right, and you know, rivalry because Larry Bird wins Rookie of the Year, but then you've got Magic, who's there at the finals, winning the MVP finals. And remember, they kind of showed that in Winning Time at the end that Bird was watching that, and his friend says something like, "Oh, well, you're the best rookie," and he goes, "Well, he's there, I'm not." And then I read about that. Actually, Bird did go out that night, Todd, and went out to a court, you know, small high school court, and was starting to work on his game.
Yeah, that's what those guys were like, man.
Yeah,
it was different. They made a lot of money and they had a lot of fun. Obviously, all those things, but they wanted to win. I mean, those two guys especially, and I think you still get that same bit with these guys now, but not everybody. It's the guys who are the best players and they work harder than everyone. Those are the ones who end up being the best of all time, and that's a smaller number than everyone that's in the league. Obviously, some guys just get their money and hey, we're along for the ride. I don't blame them. You know, but if you're driven to grind and go out there and be ticked that you weren't in the finals and go shoot baskets, that sounds like it's just an order. And the same thing Magic would do. He'd go out and shoot and work on things and wanting to do all that stuff. That's how Michael Jordan was. I think that's how LeBron has been a lot of the time. I promise you, Steph Curry's not sitting around. He's taking shots all the time. You know, Klay Thompson coming back from rehab, working. That's the loneliest, crappiest part of any time of getting hurt. You're alone when you're in rehab. you know, you don't get to see your teammates.
Absolutely.
And, all that.
And these
guys work real hard at it, and it's fun to see. And it was, you know, good enough series. I think we're going to have a good final, whoever's in it. And I think, like I said, I think people will like watching the Warriors because it's been a few years, and they'll want to see it, right?
Absolutely. And we'll find out tonight as they take on Miami in Boston. That series is 3-2, and they play tonight. So it'll be interesting to see in that game six. But thank you so much, Todd, for joining me as always. And we'll be back with Brandon Rush when we return and Mitch Richmond later in the show. You're listening to Sports Night with Bonnie Jill on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
They rise as one at Chase Center as Curry crossover, head fake, off the dribble, one-hander. Thought he was going to get a foul call. No, Wiggins rebound, back to Curry. Corner three, Stephen Curry. Timeout, Dallas.
I think internally we all are extremely proud of, you know, what it took to get back here. And, yeah, it's definitely sweet based on what we went through.
That was Steph Curry, who won the inaugural Magic Johnson Western Conference Final MVP. Steph, who finished Game 5 with 15 points and 9 assists, an all-around performance in the series, averaging 24 points, 7 assists, and 6 boards. The Warriors now advance to the NBA Finals and become the first team to reach the NBA Finals 6 times in an 8-season span since Michael Jordan's Bulls, 1991 to 1998. Now joined by someone who knows about winning championships, Brandon Rush, Kansas City boy, won the national championship with, of course, the Jayhawks in 2008, and then an NBA championship with the Warriors in 2015. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bonnie. How you doing?
I'm good. So what did you think of the series and your overall takeaways from the Western Conference Finals, B?
I thought it was a pretty good series. I know Mavericks is, they didn't have the firepower to deal with what Golden State was bringing, but they stuck in there. They managed to get a win with behind Lucas' play, but you got to give credit to the Warriors and how they came out and handled business and moving on to the finals.
Now, Warriors, your old team. Do you keep in touch with any of your old teammates from the season that you're with the Warriors?
I do. I keep in touch with Draymond when he was when they played here. I live in Indiana, so they played here a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. I got a chance to hang out with him for a little bit. And just shoot the stuff we do, like talk a bunch of stuff and have some type of fun. But yeah, I try to keep in touch with some of the guys. Also with Clay, especially on social media, I'm always me and Clay always having some type of conversation, going back and forth. So I try to keep in touch with some of the guys.
Now, speaking of Clay, you tore your ACL in college before the NBA draft, and then again in November 2012, keeping you out the remainder of the NBA season. Clay Thompson had an ACL tear in 2019 during the Game 6 of the NBA Finals, and then Achilles injury in 2020. Clay got emotional talking about going back to the NBA Finals. We know how difficult it is physically to come back from an injury like that, but how difficult is it be mentally to come back from an injury like that?
It's very tough, especially like if you get hit like he did, and then against Toronto and tore his ACL, then you kind of replay that same play in your head all the time every time you step on the court. But I'm glad he was able to get over that, and he's getting back to where he was before the injury, and that's really good to see, and they need that from him.
Now, Brandon, how tedious is those rehabs? Because he spoke about that in his presser that. These rehabs, I mean, they're brutal. So let us in on that, because you've experienced that?
This is months and months and months of work, nonstop, every day, 2 times a day. I mean, I haven't been playing in a while, and I'm still doing some type of rehab stuff just to keep my knees feeling good and not because once you get an injury like that, it's easy to get arthritis. And that's really big, coming off an injury for a knee injury like that. So just keeping that. And I know he's still doing a lot of stuff to just keep strength going into that knee and to that leg of his with the Achilles. So I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's finally getting his feel back for the game and he's taking off.
Brandon Rush is the voice that you're hearing right now. You played 4 seasons with the Warriors over 2 stints with Steph and Clay. What was it like playing with the Splash Brothers in the postseason? And, Brandon, was there a shift mentally in approaching big games in the playoffs, or was it just like any other game?
I think for them, it was just any other game. I mean, they step on the court, they show out, they do what they do best, and that's shoot the ball and make plays for each other. But that also goes into what they do before the games and doing shoot arounds and how they spend 45 minutes to an hour before and after shoot around every single day. They don't miss a day. They don't take no days off, really. That's why they're so great at what they do. And it is good to see them back in the finals again, too. Good for the Warriors fans. They've been out for the last, two or three years, dealing with Klay's injury. Now he's back, and Draymond playing at a high level again. It is good to see. It's fun basketball.
Now, Brandon, when you won that NBA championship with the Warriors in 2015, there was a chemistry and bond like no other. Explain that chemistry that the Warriors, I mean, they continue to have this chemistry. You look at other teams that, like the Lakers, that look good, you know, on paper, but they can't seem to get that chemistry right, even though they have the big names. What makes the Warriors so special in that regard?
Because the players know their role. They know they can go in, they make their shots, they feed off of Steph, they feed off of Klay, feed off of Draymond. And then they got that team bonding outside of the court. Like, some teams don't have that. Some teams don't go to dinner all the time. Some people don't do all their family stuff all the time. And the Warriors have that, and that's why they've been so good over the last decade, because they just built that type of chemistry to where they rely on each other on and off the court. And then you got Draymond. Draymond don't let up on anybody. He'll let you know how he feels. And that's something you really need for that team.
Andrew Wiggins, former Jayhawk like yourself, and number one overall pick, he developed a reputation as someone who wasn't maybe quite living up to his potential, Brandon. And he's been putting together the best playoff series in his career. The chemistry now, I go back to chemistry with Steph and Klay, and I'll even throw in Jordan Poole, has really blossomed. What would you say has been maybe the most contributing factor in Wiggins' game?
I think this seeing how Steph and Klay approach the game every single day. He's getting more mature. He was, 19 years old when he got into the league? So he's just maturing. He's developing spots to where he can be aggressive. He's not forcing anything like he was doing. I played with him in Minnesota, and I feel like they put the pressure on him to put the ball in the hole. So now he doesn't have to do that. He can just step up to whenever he needs to. That's even on the defensive floor. He did a great job on Luka, and he was able to do a lot of stuff on the offensive end, just feeding off of what other guys are doing.
Yeah, touching on his Timberwolves days, he's not being asked to be that number one or number two scoring option. And do you think that helps the pressure?
Yeah, I think that helps a lot. Then you got, I keep on going back to Steph and Klay. You got these guys that approach the game the way they do. You feed off that. Like, he didn't have that in Minnesota. He didn't have that superstar to look up to. And I know Draymond's clearly in his ear, like, you need to be aggressive more. The kid is absolutely talented, superstar talent, but just his personality, that's not who he wants to be. He likes being the third option or fourth option on that team because it suits him. That's his personality. But the talent-wise, he's through the roof.
Brandon, when you spent your time with the Warriors, I mean, because you mentioned Klay and Steph a lot, was there something that they instilled in you as a player to develop? Because it seems like they really are able to take guys under their wing and really blossom their career.
Yeah, I mean, they lead by example, not too much. You don't get too much out of Klay. He's not the most vocal guy there is, but you can just tell the work he puts in on the court and off the court as far as that rehab stuff, too. Like, you see a guy come back from two major injuries like that and pushes this team back to the finals, that's inspiring as is. So take those young guys like Jordan Poole, Wiggs, some other guys, Gary Payton Jr., take those guys under their wing and put that fight in them to, like, oh, we need to win these games. We got to teach you how to win these games. And that's what they have done this whole season.
Brandon, were you surprised by the emergence of Jordan Poole? I'm sure you've seen, he had a stint in the G League, and now he's been a pivotal role in this Warriors rotation. I mean, what can you say about Jordan Poole? Because it's pretty damn impressive.
Hey, it's really impressive what he has done, especially since last year where he was playing in the G League and just trying to find some reps and trying to stay in shape so he can perform at a top level whenever his number's called. And that was this year, and they use him as a sixth man to where he's basically a backup point guard. It seems like it's more of his original position as he's more comfortable with making plays and knocking down shots. And then his confidence is through the roof. Like, right now he probably think he's better than Steph as far as scoring the ball. But I love it. I love seeing
he
that.
He definitely has that swagger now that he didn't have before.
He definitely has that. And that's good to see. I mean, it's good to see for a young guy. What, he's 22 years old? He's going to be in the league for a long time, hopefully with the Warriors for a long time. As he just learns from no guys, then he's going to get better and better.
Brandon is the voice that you hear right now. Brandon Rush, what's the matchup that you're looking forward to? Are you looking for an easy run for the Warriors if they play the Heat, or would you like to see a Boston Celtics-Warriors matchup in the NBA Finals?
It's tough. It's tough. Miami defense is – I think Miami's defense can match up with them better. Better than Boston Celtics because of PJ being able to switch out and all the screens and stuff like that with Steph. But I would like to see Boston just because those young guys over there go. Like they got one vet and Al, and the rest of the guys are young and they hungry and they trying to push it to where they get into that finals and make a run with the Warriors and I hope it turns out to be a great series because that Miami Boston series right now is kind of up and down, one team blowing out each other every single game, and I'm looking forward to seeing this game tonight and see how Boston comes out and performs and try to close it out.
Right, absolutely. Now I got to talk a little college hoops with you. You're a CBS analyst, and I want to talk about. Okay, let's talk about Kansas junior Christian Braun. He decided he'd stay in the draft and forego his college eligibility. First question: where do you see him taken in the draft? And secondly, what do you expect to see him at that next level, Brandon?
I expect to see him as more of a 3-and-D guy, just because he's athletic. He's able to, and he's a big guy too. He's 6'6". 6'4", about 220. So he has the size to defend all positions. But the thing with him is developing a consistent 3-point shot, and that's what he's going to have to do at the next level. But I see him going to the in the first round because he's athletic. He can defend. He can push the ball in transition. He got a little handle to him. Thing with him is being more consistent with that 3-point shot. And being aggressive.
Here, Brent, I got to ask you, you had been excited when your Jayhawks won the Natty this year. Were you there? I don't even know if you were there or not.
I was definitely there. We got all those guys flew down there Monday morning. We was able to catch the game. So a little story about this. Shay, he went to UNC. He was down at the game.
Yep.
And at halftime, he came over just talking crazy. Just to everybody. Just talking crazy. Just talking about how we blowing it. Because we was down by 15 at the time. And I'm looking sad. Everybody's looking sad around him. And he just laughing. Just got a big smile on his face. And after the game, I didn't hear from him for the rest of the night. He disappeared from me. And I talked to him the following morning. I talked to the following morning. He's like, yeah, man, I was just upset. I couldn't hang out with you after the game. So, but that was fun. It was good to see.
But I was telling people, though, for those who don't know, Shea Rush is Jerron Rush's son, which is your nephew, and so you guys had a little bet going on as well?
No, we had no bet. It was just a little uncle to nephew little dispute.
I love that. That's good stuff. Yeah. Before I let you go, Brandon, because I know you're busy, you're in the East Coast or Indiana. I know you've been teeing up a lot. I see you on the golf course all the time.
Yeah.
Do you ever tee it up with Steph, or have you had a chance to?
I haven't had a chance to. When I picked it up, when I was in Minnesota, just a little bit to play here and there, and they played all the time. They would go on road trips, and they would bring their golf club. I'm like, man, I ain't never playing this old man game sport. But come to find out, I love it so much. And I'm out there 2-3 times a week myself now, just trying to get better.
Well, I'm sure you have some tee times coming up this holiday weekend. Thank you so much, Brandon, for joining me. I really appreciate your time and hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Bonnie.
You're listening to Sports Night with Bonnie Jill Laughlin on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be back with Mitch Richmond after this break.
Klay Thompson curls left side. Oh. But Klay Thompson's got 25. Catching from Curry and just nailed it.
He doesn't even see defenders right now.
No. That rim right now, that bucket, it looks like a backyard pool in New Jersey.
I'm just so happy to be back. I'm so thankful for this team. These guys carried us to an incredible start, and then be coming back in there. I mean, I don't want to get emotional here. I can't believe we're back. This is crazy. I'm going to enjoy this tonight, but wow, we still got four more to go, Dub Nation. I'm going to soak this in tonight, though. I can't believe it. I really can't believe it.
The voice you hear is Klay Thompson, who saved his best for last in the Western Conference Finals with 32 points and 8 3-pointers in Game 5 win over the Dallas Mavericks, with back-to-back injuries, tearing his ACL and then tearing its Achilles to help the Warriors advance to the NBA Finals. My next guest, Kansas State legend, NBA Hall of Famer, and NBA champion, Mitch Richmond. Mitch, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Bonnie. I appreciate it.
I know you've been busy. Tell the fans what you've been up to, because I know you're diving into another type of space.
Yeah, I've kind of dove into the digital asset space, doing augmented reality, also memorabilia, NFTs, the meta world, and a lot of projects in that space, too. So I'm looking forward to in that space, and people can go check me out at planetrock.net. ROC without the K.
Mitch, you won the NBA Rookie of the Year award in 1988 and 89 with the Warriors and a member of Don Nelson's fast-paced offense, obviously the Run TMC with Timmy Hardaway and Chris Mullin. The Warriors have their superstar trio as well in Steph Clay and Draymond. All right, 3-on-3. Mitch, give it to me. Who wins?
You know, I'm gonna go with what's going on right now. I feel like we could win, but I'm gonna go with the champions right now because they've done so much for Golden State Warriors. They now have ability to go and win another championship this year. Definitely, you know, our trio was unique and just like theirs. But you know, we got to give it to the Golden State Warriors on another fantastic year. And getting into the NBA Finals, because we know how difficult and tough it is to get there each and every year.
Now, Mitch, when you're watching this series, did you expect the Warriors to come out like they did against this Mavericks team? Because Mavericks, you know, they went Game 7 with the Suns, and it wasn't really quite a matchup.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of biased because I'm all Warriors, so I'm always rooting for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. But, I think they knew when they came back to Golden State that they really had to kind of focus a little bit more. And then you saw Clay, you know, Clay was really kind of zoned in. I think he didn't take a lot of ill-advised shots. You can see that he was really kind of zoned in on really trying to take quality shots. And then once he got rolling, he got a little wild at the end. But other than that, man, he was really focused on really kind of following through on his shot and really kind of being focused with it.
Mitch Richmond is a voice that you're hearing. Mitch, I know that you've become close with a lot of the guys, especially this team as well. I mean, when you saw Clay speak post-game and how emotional he was, and how special was that for all Warriors fans and Warriors alum to see that special moment?
Well, I think people don't realize the down days that you have. Clay has been out for 2 years and not being able to play and to do something that he truly and truly loved. It's his livelihood. And so, you know, it's a lot of days that you really got to get yourself up, pick yourself up, dust yourself off. And some tough times when, you know, you tore your Achilles and you hurt and you tore your knee up. Man, it's probably was a lot of down days that he had to go through. So just, you know, hats off to him on getting himself back and to do what he did. And I think next year he's going to be even better. Because he's really gaining confidence each and every day on his leg, on his knee, on his Achilles. And you got another summer coming up where he can actually get stronger and be the Clay of old. So you got to take your hats off to him, and people got to really understand the grind that he had to go through for 2 years to get back on the court.
Now, Mitch, I want to talk about the Mavericks. Coach Jason Kidd said afterwards that this is just the start of the journey, and you watch the series, and what do you think is next for the Dallas Mavericks? What kind of pieces do they need to build around Luka? Because to me, Luka looked tired. He looked like it was a lot for a 23-year-old to carry on his shoulders for this these past couple series.
Well, Luka's been outstanding, but I think it's another part of his game that he has to grow, and I think that's playing without the ball, probably getting himself in a little better shape, and with the pieces that they have with Tim Hardaway coming back and some of the other guys. Luka's going to have to be able to kind of run the lane sometimes and play a little bit faster so those guys get opportunities to shoot the ball. I think at times, you know, he's such a great player, but I think at times he kind of handled the ball too much, and then you put your teammates at a bad place when you're giving them the ball with 5 seconds left on the clock, and they have to take that shot. Don't have but one dribble or don't have anything to do but take it. So he has to learn how to play with the guys a little bit more. Probably put the ball in some of the other guys' hands because they are good at pick and rolls too. And he just learned how to play without the ball and get himself in better shape.
Now, you were an assistant coach under Chris Mullin at St. John's, so you're great at understanding about developing players. Do you think the playoffs have given the guys that haven't played in the finals, like Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole, the experience and the confidence to hopefully win a championship?
Well, I think, Steve Kerr and that organization and that coaching staff has done a great job throughout the year and playing a lot of guys on their bench. And also being patient with Wiggins, because he gradually got up to where he is today. And it wasn't a lot of hoopla of what he was doing. He was just gradually trying to find his way of playing with Draymond and playing with, Curry. So I think you got to give the hats off to him of being patient with his roster, giving them opportunities, even when it was in some tough times. He played, Moody there, late in the fourth or early in last game, and gave him some experience. So Kerr is really good about really kind of pushing guys in there and having the confidence that they can go out and do the job just like anybody else.
You spoke about Steph Curry's confidence. And when we talk about GOATs in the NBA, you know, I think of Bill Russell, Wilt, Magic, MJ, Kobe. And you play with Kobe and won a championship with him. If the Warriors win a championship, let's say, would it make Curry a necessary part of the GOAT conversation?
Well, I think he's already one of the best players that ever really kind of played this game. The unique thing that he does on the court, I don't know it can be really duplicated. A lot of guys try it, but to shoot at the accuracy that he shoots with a great percentage, I don't even know what his percentage is, taking two steps from half court. But doing that in a game, you know, we always, used to do that, playing on street ball or playing in practice. But to be able to do what he's done in game form and in game situations is really unique and incredible. So he's already going to be one of the GOATs, no question about it, especially for his size. He'll be a GOAT for the size that he can accomplish, all the things that he's done throughout his career, and he's still doing it. So it's amazing what he's been able to do.
And sticking with the history part of the NBA, the Warriors playing in the NBA Finals for the sixth time in 8 years, and the last time to do that was Michael Jordan's Bulls, of course. They have three titles.
Right.
The Warriors don't have the championships yet like the Lakers and Celtics have, but they are making history. And when it's all said and done, where do you see the Warriors dynasty ranking among all the all-time dynasties, Mitch?
Well, I think you got to put them up there only because how exciting this team is each and every night and how they go about doing it. We always hear, throughout the history of the game is that you live by the three, you die by the three. They've been able to be so accurate from the three-point line and win games that no one thought that anybody could do that and making it all the way through to a championship. But I think people got to realize that I love how they play team defense. Curry, when he first came in the league, everybody picked on him, and they're still picking on him, but he fights each and every night. He doesn't give up on the play. They have a unique way with Draymond Green rallying those guys to give your heart out on both ends of the court, and that's why I love a player and I love teams that play both ends of sides of the ball. And Warriors, they're doing it with their offense, but people got to realize they're also doing it with their defense. And so you got to take your hats off to them for what they've been able to accomplish, even though that they're listed as one of the potent three point shooting team in the history of the game, but they also play great defense.
You speak of Draymond Green's voice, and two voices on TNT postgame was Draymond and Shaq, and they're going back and forth, and Shaq's putting him in a corner and saying, who do you want to play? Who do you want to play? And Draymond said, they don't really want to go against Boston because, defensive length and rim protection, what they've struggled with. But what matchup would be better for the Warriors and why?
Well, I think we're going to see an exciting series with Boston because Boston matches up very, very well with the Warriors. They have all the capabilities of what the Warriors do. They take you off the dribble, let alone Warriors, shoot it from the perimeter. And Al Horford is pretty much a player like Draymond Green. So it's a great matchup on all, I think at every position that you look at, they match up very, very well. And then they have a little young guard coming off the bench for Boston who played at Oregon, who's a very heady guy and that gets that offense running the right way. So I think it's going to be a great series, man. Boston is the team that matches up with Golden State better than Miami to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to see some, man, I think it's going to be exciting to watch, man, because it's going to be tick for tack. And Boston played great team defense. Smart. Smart is a great heady player. Yeah, Marcus Smart does all the dirty work. He comes in and gets the team, because everyone thought that they were going to struggle because they didn't really have a point guard, and Smart is kind of in between of a point guard and a two, but he gets the job done. He gets those guys in the offense, and he's kind of like that Draymond Green for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be a fun series to watch, because I feel like some of these games have not been too exciting. And so this would actually be a good matchup,
right,
and could go seven games. So that would be nice. Mitch, before I let you go, I got to ask you a K-State question, being a legend and all, and all the records you broke there. So the only Kansas State prospect for the NBA draft just withdrew, I'm sure you saw, and is now transferring to Miami, Nigel Pack. He's getting a two-year, $800,000 deal with Life Wallet as a part of the name, image, and likeness agreement, as we all know, the NIL. To top it off, he also was promised a car, a part of the deal. With these likeness agreements available, because that was, you know, very new and didn't happen when you were playing, does it help some players that may need both immediate money and time to maybe mature in college?
Of course. I think it's you might have it not working out so well, and you might have it working out so well. I think once they get a handle on it a little better, I think it would be a great plus. But I think it's a plus, no question about it. A lot of these guys come from humbling beginnings. And give them the opportunity, man, because I remember in college at times, you know, we didn't have anything to eat on the weekends. You know what I mean? And we're selling out the games, and it's hard to try to get a meal. So now, you know, the guys can actually kind of, you know, send money back to their moms, send money back to their families, have an opportunity to actually make money with your likeness. You know, we didn't have that because we didn't have social media. Social media now, these guys already got 100,000 followers when they coming out of high school. So it's a different type of game. And if the more followers you have, the more opportunities you have for a company to come to you and have the ability to make some money with that. So yeah, I think it's a great thing. We've been talking about how we're gonna, you know, get these guys. Or how are we going to get these guys some money? Because the universities are making so much money, and how do we compensate these players? And I think this is the way. Maybe it's like the Wild Wild West is like anything else, just like in the digital space, it's the Wild Wild West now. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a calm waters at some point in time, and we just have to wait for that.
Well, good stuff, Mitch. That was fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, tell everyone where they can find you, the website.
You can find the website at planetrockoc.net, and you can find me on Instagram at MitchRockRichmond23. And, please, man, come check me out. And, you know, never know, man. We can always do something together.
Do you reply to your fans, Mitch?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I am getting more engaged. I'm turning that leaf now. I used to have a lot of stuff on my Instagram doing a little stuff, but now, you know, I'm getting into it a little bit more. There's more opportunities that are coming with that, so I got to clean up with some things, and I done cleaned it up, and now I'm going on a whole nother level, a whole another wave. And so, yeah, people come check me out and go from there.
Awesome. We're happy to hear that. All right, Mitch, thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you, buddy. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks for listening to Sports Night with Bonnie Jill Laughlin on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Big thank you to my guests, Brandon Rush and Mitch Richmond. Have a great holiday weekend, and don't forget to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Until next time, good night.